Title, Tape His Swells as Arrangement Glue Advanced. All right, let's talk about one of the most underrated secret weapons in drum and bass arrangement. Tape hiss. Not as a gimmick, not as vinyl crackle aesthetic. As an actual musical layer that glues your sections together, fills the microscopic gaps between hits, and makes your drop feel bigger without adding a single new note. This is advanced Ableton work, but it's all stock devices. And the goal is control. You want hiss that's subtle in the groove, expressive in transitions, and disciplined enough to sit behind punchy breaks and a serious sub. By the end, you'll have a dedicated hiss setup you can throw into any 174 project, a hiss bus that breathes with the drums, opens up into drops, and adds continuity across your arrangement. Think of it like room tone for your track, but with DNB timing and attitude. First decision, routing. Are you doing this as a dedicated audio track, or as a return? If you want detailed automation, like custom ramps into a drop and little gestures every four bars, a dedicated track called Hiss is perfect. If you want quick glue across the whole tune, a return track is the move. You send your drum group, maybe your breaks, maybe even some effects, and they all share the same consistent texture. In real advanced sessions, I'll often do both, a return for constant low-level glue, and a dedicated track for feature swells and transitions. That combo is ridiculously effective. Now, let's build the hiss source. Two solid approaches. Approach 1. Operator noise. Create a MIDI track, drop operator on it, and turn oscillator down so it's effectively off. Then enable the noise section. Choose white noise if you want it brighter and more aggressive, or a more colored option if your version offers it and you want smoother highs. Then create a long MIDI clip that holds a note for the entire section. This is a big win in DNB because it's consistent, controllable, and you're not fighting loop seams or sample weirdness. Approach 2. A sampled tape hiss loop. Create an audio track, drop in a hiss or vinyl noise sample, and loop it cleanly. Warp it in beats mode with transient preservation, basically not doing anything, or use complex if it's a really broadband texture and you're hearing artifacts. If you don't have a sample, you can literally generate it with operator and resample a chunk. Printing it often makes it feel more real anyway, because you get microvariation once it's auto. Cool. Now we build the core tape hiss chain. This is where it stops being random noise and becomes mix ready. First device, EQ 8, high pass it. Indeed NB, this is not optional. Start around 300 Hz, and use a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. You can move that anywhere from 200 to 500 depending on how busy your drums and bass are, but the goal is, no low junk, none. Then check the harsh zone. If the hiss is stabbing you or it's stepping on snare crack, do a gentle dip around 3 to 5 kHz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, with a moderate EQ. You're carving space for the backbeat. If you want a touch of air, add a gentle high shelf around 10 to 14 kHz, 1 to 3 dB. But be careful, too much up there becomes fake air and fatigue. In darker DNB, you might actually emphasize more like 7 to 10 kHz and keep the ultra top controlled. Next, saturator. This is the tape-ish density part. Use soft sine or analog clip. Drive it somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Keep your output at unity so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. And feel free to enable soft clip if it helps it sit. Teacher tip. Saturation is how you make hiss audible on smaller systems without cranking the level. You want density, not volume. Next, auto filter. Set it to a low pass, 12 or 24 dB slope. Put the cutoff somewhere like 6 to 12 kHz as a starting point. Add a little resonance, maybe 0.3 to 0.8. This is one of your main performance controls, because opening that filter is your swell without needing to just turn the hiss up. Next, utility. This is where you place it in the stereo field and keep it safe. You can widen it a bit, like 120 to 160%, but don't go silly. And turn on bass mono around 200 Hz, even though you already high-passed it. It's just extra insurance. Also, utility gain is a great main automation target. It's clean, predictable, and you can use it for subtle pushes without messing your tone. Optional spice, if you want movement, a tiny bit of Karas Ensemble at a slow rate for wobble, or a very light redux for grit, like 12 to 14 bits. Even erosion in noise mode can add sand, but go extremely low. The moment you hear it as an effect, you've probably gone too far. Now the big one. Making it glue. Sidechain it to the drums. In drum and bass, if your hiss isn't breathing, it will smear your transients and your drums will feel smaller. We're not doing that. Drop a compressor after your tone chain. Turn on sidechain. Set the IMPA to your drum bus or drums group. Starting settings, ratio 3:1 up to 6:1, attack fast, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, and release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Then pull the threshold down until you're seeing maybe 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction on hits. Listen for the behavior. Hiss ducks on kick and snare, then rises in the spaces. That between hits rise is what creates perceived continuity, and you want it to be groove why, not etm pumpy. Extra coach move, in a lot of DNB, the snare defines the loudness perception more than the kick. So try side chinning from a snare-only trigger, or from the break track instead of the whole drum group. When the hiss bows around the 2 and 4, the backbeat feels cleaner and bigger. Another advanced move, Ableton's compressor has look ahead. Try 1 millisecond. That tiny pre-duck can keep the snare edge cleaner with less overall gain reduction. Alright, now we turn static hiss into arrangement glue with swells. Let's do the classic pre-drop swell over 16 bars. Automate two things, the auto filter cutoff, and either utility gain or the track slash return level. From 16 bars, before the drop up to the last bar, slowly open the filter from about 3 kHz up to around 14 kHz. At the same time, bring the level up, like from minus 18 dB to minus 8 dB, depending on how dense your mix is. Then, at the drop, do a hard reset. Pull the cutoff back down to something like 6 to 9 kHz and drop the level by a couple dB instantly, so you don't mask that first snare. In Ableton's arrangement view, use breakpoint curves and bend them with Alt or Option. You want that exponential ramp feeling. Linear ramps can feel like a template. Curves feel like intention. Now, during the drop, we do micro swells. This is how you keep a roller alive without adding extra percussion. Every 2 or 4 bars, do a tiny 1 beat lift. Open the filter by maybe 500 to 1500 Hz and push the gain by 1 or 2 dB, then bring it back. Small moves, you should feel momentum. Not hear a noise riser. Here's a fun arrangement trick. Use hiss to announce structural landmarks. At the start of a 16-bar phrase, do a quick 1 beat open and close. Around bar 8, do a tiny lift so the energy doesn't sag. And on bar 15 into the drop, do the longer ramp, then a micro mute right before impact to create negative space. That negative space trick is nasty in a good way. Automate the hiss up then hard mute it for half a beat right before the hit. That tiny vacuum makes the transient feel huge, even if your peak levels don't change. Now for an 8-bar exit into breakdown, we change character. We want tight club turning into cinematic haze. Here's a counterintuitive move that works. Lower the filter cutoff while slightly raising the level. Like cutoff goes from 12 kHz down to 6 kHz, while gain goes from minus 12 up to minus 9. It softens the top but fills the space. Also, you can reduce the amount of ducking a bit so it feels less locked to the drums, and widen slightly but carefully. Even better than just width. Front to back movement. Automate reverb depth instead of extreme stereo widening. Keep the dry hiss low, and bring up a short reverb, like 0.3 to 0.7 seconds, only in transitions. That reads as depth, not phase. Now let's talk about an intelligent gate feel. Sometimes you want hiss to live specifically in the gaps, almost like the groove is carving it out. You can use gate with side chain from the drums group. Set so it reacts to hits, adjust release around 80 to 200 milliseconds, and add a bit of hold, like 10 to 30 ms, if it chatters. Real talk. If the gate isn't doing clean ducking behavior in your setup, don't fight it. Sidechain compression is the reliable workhorse for hiss glue. Mix placement rules, because DNB is unforgiving. Keep lows clean. High pass at least 200 to 500 Hz. Don't negotiate with this. Your sub needs that space. Protect the snare. If the snare presence is in that 2 to 6 kHz range, carve the hiss there or shorten the sidechain release. Watch the extreme top end. Too much 10 to 16 kHz becomes fake sheen and listener fatigue fast. And do the low volume check. At low volume, hiss should be felt as continuity, not heard as PSSSHHH. Here's the fastest calibration method, the mute test with snare focus. Loop 8 bars of your drop. Mute and unmute the hiss while focusing on the snare transient. If the snare loses snap when hiss is on, either dip the hiss in the 2 to 6 kHz region, or adjust your sidechain release so it recovers differently. If the drop feels smaller and less connected when hiss is off, you're in the zone. Also do a mono compatibility check. Temporarily set utility width to 0 on the hiss. If the top suddenly gets harsher or louder, you had facey width happening. Back off widening or remove modulation that's causing that smear. Now, a couple advanced variations if you want to level up. 1. Multiband ducking. Split the hiss into two bands using an audio effect rack. Make a low mid band that runs from your high pass up to about 6 to 8 kHz and duck that heavily. Then make an air band above 8 to 10 kHz and duck it lightly. This way you keep sparkle between hits without the mid-range fog that murders snares. 2. Tape age micro resonances. After saturation, add an EQ 8 with 2 or 3 very gentle, narrow boosts, like 1 dB at around 7.5 kHz, and maybe half to 1 dB at around 11 kHz, with a narrow Q. Then tame overall brightness with a soft low pass. Those tiny peaks stop the hiss from feeling like flat white noise and make it feel like hardware. 3. Print to audio for realism. Resample 16 to 32 bars of your hiss bus, then warp it in texture mode with a low grain size and add tiny fades at clipped edges. It'll feel less plug-in perfect and more like a living bed. And here's a super practical arrangement use case, break switch glue. If you change breaks between A and B drops, keep a consistent hiss layer under both. That sonic constant makes the switch feel intentional instead of sounding like a different project file. Let's wrap with a quick practice routine you can do in 15 to 25 minutes. Open an existing 174 BPM project. Create a return track called A, Hiss Glue. Use operator noise or a hiss sample. On that return, add EQ 8 with a 300 Hz high pass, saturator in soft sine mode with about 4 dB drive, auto filter low pass 12, utility with width around 140% and bass mono at 200, then a compressor sidechained from your drums group. Send your drums group into that return at around minus 18 dB send level to start. Now automate a 16 bar build, filter cutoff from 3 kHz to 14 kHz. At the drop, reset cutoff to around 8 kHz, and drop the return send by about 3 dB for the first two bars to protect the first backbeat. Bounce a 32 bar snippet and a slash beat, with hiss and without hiss. Listen for three things: snare clarity, perceived continuity, and transition energy. If muting the hiss makes your drop collapse, you nailed it. If muting the hiss makes your mix instantly cleaner and better, the hiss is too loud, too bright, or not ducking correctly. Final recap: tape hiss swells or arrangement blue. This audio version is shortened for playback.